Another person who's had energy policy on the mind is Michael Levy. He's a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier spoke with him about his new book, The Power Surge. It details Levy's thoughts on how the U.S. could benefit not just from wind and solar power, but from fracking as well. Here's the interview.
So in the book, you write that everything we once knew about American energy seems to be changing. I want to see if you can tell me what you mean by this.
Well, first, let's put an emphasis on the word seems. There are a lot of continuities, despite the fact that we're seeing big changes. But if you do look out at what's happening in American energy, it's tough to find a time since maybe the early 1970s when we've had so much change underway. We've had a boom in natural gas production that had gas pass coal as the top domestic source of American energy in 2011. Last year, we saw the biggest one-year increase in U.S. oil production in history. We've seen a decline in U.S. oil consumption, roughly as large as the increase in production, and we've seen a doubling in renewable energy generation along with rapidly falling costs over the last 4 years or so. I mean, those are big changes. Any one of those would be big changes, but to have all of them at the same time, we need to step back, understand what's happening in all these areas, and try to put some of the pieces together.
So fracking is extremely contentious. You write about it in the book at length. What are your thoughts about fracking? What do you have a stance on it? And are we doing fracking the right way right now?
A lot depends on where you look and on who's doing the job. Fracking can be done safely. It can be done in unsafe ways. One of the things that while I was writing the book, I met with the mayor of Youngstown, Ohio, who really captured some of the conflicts for me. Youngstown, after decades in decline, is benefiting from the boom, new manufacturing investment, new jobs, and the mayor had sponsored ordinances in support of oil and gas development. Then a company did a sloppy job disposing of wastewater in an injection well, and it caused a 4.0 magnitude tremor in the area, which, among other things, damaged the mayor's home. And he turned around and sponsored a moratorium on shale gas and tidal development in the area. So you see that tension even in individuals. And he still would say that he's supportive of development, but he's supportive of development done right. And I think that's an essential piece here. It's tempting, because we have such big economic challenges right now, to rush forward as fast as possible. But I think it's more important to make sure that we get things right.
So I want to talk to you about climate change. Is it too late to do anything about it?
We're seeing big gains in alternative energy, in part because of technological development, but in part because of government support. And I think we need to continue to support these developments while being careful not to get government too deeply enmeshed in industry. The reality is that while natural gas production on the rise is helping us deal with our climate challenge, and while rising oil production is helping make us more secure and prosperous, they don't solve those problems by themselves. We do need to have better options for zero carbon electricity, whether it's renewable energy or nuclear power or carbon capture and sequestration. We do need better tools for cutting our oil consumption even as we increase our oil production, and that also requires a government role. To me, the critical thing is to remember that each of these different developments has its own benefits. It's important not to say that because we've got one development, because we've got this oil and gas boom, which is helping us, that we should set aside these other important things that we need to move forward.
You know, if I were to make you the energy czar or the coach of energy for America, what are the best realistic courses of action on climate? What are some specific policies that you'd like to see go through?
In the near term, fossil fuels are usually going to be the most cost-effective way for us to produce energy. But if you have this fatalistic attitude that says that fossil fuels are the cheapest way now and they will be the cheapest way forever, then you don't invest in boosting alternative technologies that can give you a broader suite of options. So I don't buy into the fatalism. I don't think that we should be adopting rules that say that you switch tomorrow from fossil fuels to clean energy. But we do need to support development in these areas, and we see this in a host of different technology areas. Up to a point, the private sector is not going to make the big bets on the technologies of the future. The private sector didn't make the big bets on the internet early on. It didn't make the big bets on radar, on aircraft, in the jet aircraft, in the way the military did in that case. And so there are a host of different areas where government has an important role in pushing forward young technologies that provide broader social benefits. If we can invest money in the military and make ourselves more secure, we should also be thinking about how we invest money in different energy sources to make ourselves more secure as well.
Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
That was the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier talking with Michael Levy of the Council on Foreign Relations. Levy's new book is called The Power Surge. We'll have links to more of his writing, including his blog post called Reading Between the Lines of Obama's Climate Change Plan. That's on our website, AlleghenyFront.org.